Well, good morning, everybody. How y'all doing this morning? Let's stand up and praise the Lord this morning. We can start just by praying in the Holy Ghost this morning. Let's just pray just for a bit here. Come on. Father, we thank you for your grace and for your mercy. You are a good God. Praise the Lord. God. How many of y'all in the mood to praise God this morning? Come on, you can do better than that this morning. Brother Jesse, you can bring it. Hallelujah. I like that. Sandra's up this morning. Why don't y'all just start by singing hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, sunrise. Why don't you put your hands again? Sunrise, sunset, I'm gonna praise the sunset, I'm gonna praise the sunrise, come and say hallelujah.
Oh.
Somebody say, let the heavens rejoice and the earth be glad. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let me.
worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, oh, let the earth be filled with your glory. Let the earth be filled with your glory. Oh, let's sing it. Let the earth be filled with your glory. Let the earth be filled with your glory. The world needs to know. Oh, the world needs to know. Come on. Let the earth be filled with your glory. Yeah. Let the earth, come on. Let the earth be filled with your glory. Hallelujah. Oh, you're holy. You are holy. You are righteous. Oh, there's none like you. None like you. None like you. Let's lift our hands and sing. Let the earth, come on, let the earth, let the earth be filled with your glory. Come on, hallelujah. Yeah. Let the earth, shout it out, let the earth, come on, let the earth be filled with your glory. Oh, let the earth, let the earth, let the earth. Somebody love on them this morning. Is that all right? Amen. Just hug somebody. Tell them that you love them this morning.
Worship.
as a company of praise. Let this temple be a place where your glory is embraced as we stand in awe and worship you. Let's sing it. We worship you with lips of adoration. We worship you as a company of praise. Let this temple be a place where your glory is in place as we stand in awe.
You. temple. Let this temple be a place where your glory is embraced as we stand in awe and worship you. Let this temple.
Somebody a hug and turn some light on in here. Glory to God. Give us some bright light. All of them. Praise the Lord. Give four people a hug. Y'all can hug everybody in about. Don't hug anybody that's not smiling. If they're not smiling, fine. Hey, there's my little brother. I love you, buddy. Love you, Brother Jesse. Good job getting that list together. Son, you can have a hug. Did it get hot in here to anybody but me? Didn't? Oh, oh. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord today? Y'all can bring up all of these things all the way. Amen. Or does it give you a buzz? I want to talk to y'all about some things this morning. Is that all right? Why don't you open your Bibles? Just open your Bibles. And let's go to John chapter 3, verse 17. John chapter 3, verse 17. Brother Ralph, would you stand and just bless this word this morning? Praise the Lord. As Brother Ralph, we're going to be showing you some things in the Word this morning, but as he was praying, something popped in my spirit, another scripture I want to share to you. Praise the Lord. Prada Buddha Namasina.
Let's go to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3, and hold that other place in your Bibles. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. Jesse, I have your Bible. Okay, Hebrews. Well, bless it. Amen. Glory to God. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3 says this. How? Everybody say how. Isn't that a trip when the Bible asks you? Amen. Somebody say, how can this be done? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which was first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his will. Look at somebody say, how? How do you expect to escape? Well, what are we trying to escape? This carnal state? Amen. The wages of sin is death. We're trying to escape death. We're trying to escape hell. We're trying to escape corruption. Amen. We're trying to escape. Amen. Anything that comes along with the devil's plan. The devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Amen. And that's what God wants to save us from, is the devil's scheme and the devil's plan. But then here's this question. How shall we escape the devil's wiles? Amen. How do you expect to get over, amen, when we neglect? Somebody say neglect. Now, I tell you what, in the U.S., we think, now, here's a little baby, right? Here's baby looks real good. Now, if this woman had this baby and just left that baby in the house for a couple days all by itself, that wouldn't be too good, would it? What would they call her? They would call her an unfit mama, right? And and she would go to court, and she'd probably go to jail. And it would be a form of abuse, wouldn't it? And the form of abuse would be neglect of what? That caring of that child. Well, so many people handle their salvation in the same fashion. So we say neglect. And they expect to overcome, they expect to get over, they expect to be triumphant in every case, you know, in every issue, amen. And all throughout the week, there's nothing but a neglect of salvation. Well, it says, if you can neglect salvation, that means that salvation needs to be what? Maintained. Well, how can you know, if something didn't need to be maintained, look at somebody and say, salvation needs maintenance. The Bible says, and another scripture says, work out your salvation with what? Fear and trembling. So I tell you what, this thing that you got from Jesus, it came free, but you got to keep it up. And that's one of the things that we want to talk about this morning, because there is a line from the pit of hell, amen, that people expect to receive all the benefits of salvation, you know, saved, healed, delivered, prospered, and all these other things, amen. But they never want to do the basic things. You will never escape. When you have a lifestyle, amen, of Christian neglect. Isn't that a good one this morning? Now, I want you to know that Jesus desires that you escape. Let's go to John chapter 3, verse 17. John chapter 3, verse 17 says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be what? Saved." Well, saved from what? Where did Jesus come to save us from? We're going to find out that salvation, that the word saved or the word saved or save or salvation is a present tense verb. Everybody say present tense. And present tense means that you have been saved. Amen, huh? Perfect tense. Thank you, Brother Jesse. He said perfect tense. Amen. That's better. Thank you, Brother Jesse. Well, perfect tense means that you have been saved. You will be saved. You are being saved. Somebody say amen. Somebody say, I was saved. I shall be saved. And yet I am being saved. Now, we're going to find this out, that a lot of people want to claim a lot of stuff. Let's go here. Go back to Matthew chapter 20. Let's go to Matthew 27, chapter 42. Now, there's a whole bunch of people that wants to say, well, I said that sinner's prayer with Billy Graham on the television. I am saved. Hallelujah. Look at somebody and say, from what? Matthew Matthew chapter 27, verse 42, it says, he saved, everybody, doesn't that look like past tense, the word saved there? He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he were the king of Israel, let him come down from the cross and we will believe him. Well, there were certain people that acknowledged that he had saved some people right then. Do you see that in Scripture? Jesus had not yet died. He had not yet went. He had not yet been buried. He had not yet rose again. But yet here in Scripture, amen, certain people say, listen, others he has saved even before he died on the cross. So look at somebody and say, saved from what? There are many things that one can be saved from, and Jesus wants you to be saved from everything. But you got to work your salvation, amen. You got to work this plan that God has for you in order for you to have deliverance in that area. There are a lot of people that are saved from hell. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus, for that, amen. But there are certain people that are oppressed of the enemy. Well, it's God's desire that that person be delivered from the wiles of the devil, right? Saved from that. There are certain people that may be saved from hell and may be delivered from demon oppression, amen. But yet the devil has worked them over all their life that they were always in poverty, in bondage, in lack, and in debt. Well, God desires that you would also be saved from that. And we're going to find out in Scripture that Jesus saved many people from many different things in his walk and in his life. And there are a lot of people that are receiving different portions of their salvation, but God wants you to have full and total salvation. There are a lot of people, I look at them today, they say, yeah, I'm saved. Well, you need to get saved. Hallelujah. There's something about this salvation, this life that we have in Christ when we allow the Holy Ghost to reign in our lives, that he delivers us and saves us from all our fears and all of our harms and all of our onslaughts. How many are glad you're saved this morning? Let's look at some of the things that Jesus saved. The Bible says he saved them from. Let's go here. Luke chapter 7, verse 50. There was a woman named Mary Magdalene right here, and he said to the woman, thy faith has done what? What did her faith do? Well, that was before he did what? That was before Jesus died. That was before he rose again. So at this time, she was not at that point by, you know, he seeing in the future that she was definitely saved from hell because he knew what he was going to do. But you know what? There was no redemption for the believer at that time. But she was saved from something, wasn't she? What did Jesus say to the woman? Right here. What did Jesus say in Luke chapter 7, verse 50? He said to the woman, thy what? Faith hath saved you. Well, there are certain issues in your life and certain things in your life and certain ways in your life that only faith can save you from. Glory to God. You know what? We haven't arrived all the way yet. I thank God that I'm delivered from the power of hell. Jesus took care of all that stuff. I don't got to face the devil. Amen. All of my sins have been washed away by the blood of the Lamb. But while I'm here on earth, do you know what? There is still some earthly symptoms. Amen. That we need to work out our salvation on. And we need to use our faith as this woman used her faith to overcome in that area. So I say, you still can be saved. Glory to God. You got to let Jesus work through your life. Here's another case here. Luke chapter 18, verse 42. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy what? Everybody say faith. Has saved thee. Well, listen, this person was pulling on the grace and the anointing of God by faith. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people saw it and gave praise unto Jesus. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Well, I tell you what, in Romans chapter 8, verse 24, let's go there. Hallelujah. There's a Pac-Man calling one of the sisters here at church. Amen. It says, for we are saved by what? Hope. Everybody say, saved by hope. Now, you might have some things in your life this morning. There might be some situations in your life. There might be some mountains you got to climb. There might be some things you need to overcome. But I want you to know that the blood of Jesus has cleansed you and forgiven you. That means that you don't have to put up with the devil's junk no more. That you can overcome if you want to. But how do you overcome? By taking full advantage of the salvation that only Jesus can bring. You know, many people, you got to learn to work salvation to receive, amen, the benefit of salvation. Amen. And you got to learn how to have that salvation work its way over on you. It says, how will you be able to escape if you neglect so great salvation? And there are so many people that are held captive to so many things. People don't even act like they're saved anymore. Here we're saved and delivered and set free. And we live sometimes like we're citizens of hell sometimes. No difference than anybody in the world. We suffer the same things. We say the same things. We act the same way. Why? Neglect of the salvation that only Jesus can bring. Jesus told us, and the Bible teaches us, that we should separate ourselves. Amen? That we should be a strange and peculiar people, set apart for good works. Amen? Behold, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, everything has come new. But nothing will become new in you if you don't allow the Holy Ghost to work on you and renew your mind. When you neglect salvation, nothing will become new. Somebody say the neglect of salvation. There are certain people that aren't pulling on the full benefits of salvation because they don't have a hope. You might have said a sinner's prayer a long time ago, but you can't neglect that salvation. You've got to let it have its perfect work in you. That was just the beginning of a destiny, of a journey, amen, of a voyage. Hallelujah. With Jesus Christ, when you accepted Jesus, when you committed your life to Jesus Christ, that was only the beginning of what God had in plan for you. He wants to set you free completely. And he can only set you free to the level, amen, to the level or to the measure of your knowledge of the Word of God and of your faith. Let's go back to the beginning. Are we learning anything this morning? Hallelujah. Somebody's going to learn about salvation this morning. Hallelujah. And set and get free. Hallelujah. Some people don't get free. I tell you what. See, we've gotten so watered down in this thing. We've made it so easy. You know, we turn this thing in vain. I mean, we turn this thing into, I tell you what, a form of godliness that denies the power thereof. There is power in this Christian life that God called us to walk in. But until somebody stands up and starts to teach the word, we won't see the things that God desires us to see or experience the things that God wants us to experience. Everybody said, I'm so sick of hearing about what happened a long time ago. I tell you what, I can remember people getting saved. Amen. And they used to sing songs like, I looked at my hands and my hands looked new. I looked at my feet and my feet looked new too. There were certain people that were full of hell, and they went to a revival meeting and got filled with the Holy Ghost and got saved, and they would go home to their family, and their family wouldn't know who they were because of this new nature that Jesus Christ put on the inside of them. Somebody said saved. There is a difference. There's a difference when you want to live saved, when you want to walk saved, you want to live right. Amen? Amen. There are certain people that need to call themselves dead to some things that people in the world are alive to. I'm saved and delivered from that. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell it anyhow. Let's look at this. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus said unto them, he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be what? Saved. He that believes... It didn't say he that believed what you said one time. It said he that is doing what? Believeth. Do you see that word that I'm saying? It says, listen, go into all the world. He that believeth, that means is in a state of believing and trusting. All right. And is baptized. Now, baptized is a symbol of saying, listen, I'm no longer a part of the world. Amen. I'm a part of Jesus Christ's kingdom. Amen. Shall be saved. But he that believeth not, somebody say believes not, shall be damned. Well, I tell you what, we have to preach the gospel in this God. When did it say continually preach the gospel? Amen. And you need to continually be believing the gospel. Not having believed a long time ago, well, I used to think that, but now I think differently. We need to stay in the faith. Amen. So that we might be able to be saved. There are certain people that believed 15 years ago, 20 years ago, and who knows where their head is today. You need to be believing today. Amen. You need to be standing in faith today for it to work. Faith is the power of God in action. He that believeth shall be saved. There are certain people that aren't living in any type of faith and any type of expectancy and want to call themselves saved. No, you must be believing. Hallelujah. Listen, it says, and these signs, somebody say, these signs shall follow those that believe. There should be evidence to what you're believing. Signs aren't going to follow a person that believed something 10 years ago. Signs aren't going to follow you when you just picked up a philosophy or a knowledge of a person. Signs will follow the believer. Amen. The believer, those that are believing on a day-by-day basis, living day-by-day, expecting God to do something. Amen? See, there are many people who want evidence of the existence of God, but nobody wants to live in faith. These signs shall follow those that believe. They shall cast out devils. Doesn't that sound like salvation? Amen. They shall speak with new tongues. Glory to God. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick. Somebody say, glory to God. Say it again. There are a lot of, I know one of my friends that got mad at another one of the friends. He had a very large church. And the healing anointing started to work on one of them. And he started to call out all kinds of sicknesses all over the house. And people started to receive healing. But the church had a plan. We want people. And we don't want to offend anybody. You know, that's that old stuff. People will think, call us charismatic. They will call us Pentecostal. And all we want to do is just gather a bunch of people. But Jesus didn't tell us just to gather a bunch of people. He said, gather the people, but gather them by these things. Gather them by casting out devils. Somebody say, glory to God. Gather them by speaking in new tongues. Gather them by praying for the sick and seeing the sick recover. There are some of the things we were thinking about. These are one of the things that God was dealing with me this morning. He said, heal the sick. Whether people like it or not, Jesus commands us that the sick would always be healed. And these signs will always follow true believers. When you want to find a true believer, find devils coming out. Amen. You want to find a church of faith. If you don't see these things that Jesus said would be in existence, there is not true faith there. There's just knowledge or a historical knowledge. But there's nobody's living on a day-by-day faith walk. Because when you live by faith on those day-by-day, step-by-step, moment-by-moment, line-upon-line, precept-upon-precept, these things happen. And we don't see these things happen. It means that somebody is not believing God. Listen, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and set on the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere. Somebody said preaching. But the Lord working with them, that's what we want to understand. Somebody say the Lord working with them. That means he's active. That means he's alive. Amen. That means that you can see him move, that, you know, he's not dead. He's just not in your head, but he's all around you. Somebody say the Lord working with them. Now, many people that neglect, one of the ways that we neglect salvation is we refuse to see or acknowledge the Lord working with us. We want to get beyond God, amen. We want to get so far ahead of God, you know, that we leave him in the dust, you know, that he's only a wish or a positive mindset. He's more than a positive mindset. He's a living and active person, amen, that's in the life of every heart and believer of the individual. But people that neglect salvation, they don't allow the Lord to work with them. Are you allowing the Lord to work with you on a daily basis? On a daily basis? Moment by moment and step by step? The Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Now this is what we want to look at. Matthew, the Bible says in the last days, the hearts of many will wax cold. There'll be a great falling away from the faith. And many would be deceived. Amen. But who's going to hold faithful to the end? Those that continue in the faith and those that believe God. Matthew chapter 10 verse 22. Glory to God. He said, you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. He didn't say he that prayed a prayer over the television 20 years ago. He didn't say he that cried at Nations Church and went down to the front and thought about all the nasty things that they had done over their life, and they got it all over, and now I got that over with, now I'm covered, amen, I got my insurance policy. But salvation has to do with endurance.
Yes, amen.
Glory to God, it's an endurance thing. The same faith that it took you to make it to the front altar, you need to keep that same faith on a day-to-day basis. It's an endurance thing. Those that endure, those that are believing on a day-by-day basis shall be saved. Oh, glory to God. Somebody said saved. That means protected. That means healed. That means preserved. Amen. That means secure. Amen. Those that are secure, saved basically means safe. Somebody say safe. Well, when are you safe? You are safe when you're in faith. You're safe when you're with God, when you can acknowledge His presence. But if you're not acknowledging God and you're not doing any of those things, guess what? You're no more saved than anybody else. If your faith saves you, glory to God, what's going to save you if you don't have any faith? Luke chapter 13, verse 23. Glory to God. I believe this is what the Bible's talking about. It says in the land, you know, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord shall raise up a standard against him. How many of you want to see the Lord raise a standard? Amen. See, people want to lower the standard of salvation. They want to mass market it. Amen. This ain't Tonka toys. This is not compact computers. Glory to God. This is salvation. You don't lessen. He doesn't go on red light special, Jesus, because nobody wants to be saved, so we put him on red light. You know, blue light special. You can get saved. You can keep this and keep that. You don't have to have faith. Amen. You don't got to be whole. You don't have to pray in the Holy Ghost. You don't have to do any of these things. There's no blue light specials in the kingdom of God. When the enemy comes in and things get hot, glory to God, the Lord raises the standard against them. Amen. That's when we hold the faith. It says this in Luke chapter 13, verse 23. Woo, glory to God. There are many people, you know, that do lots of crazy, weird things because they neglect salvation. These aren't days to walk carelessly. These are the last and evil days. We don't know when Jesus is coming. We don't know what morning he's going to crack the sky. Glory to God. May he find me faithful and believing when he returns. Then said one of them unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive. Look at somebody and say, strive. You better get this in your spirit, amen. You're hearing it here, glory to God. Everybody circle that word. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. This thing is easy. This thing is easy when you're surrendered, glory to God. But the Bible says here, listen, it says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Glory. You got to want to be saved. You know, we show up for church, you know, once every 7 weeks and expect God to spin over backward for us. Amen. Well, I did my 2 days. I'm unlucky. You know, I got it going on. Glory to God. I tell you what, these are the last and evil days. This is a good life. Amen. These are the days that you got to strive to enter into this thing. Glory to God. You got to work it out. Glory to God. This thing is good. This is a good life. You just don't handle it so carelessly. Grieve not the Holy Ghost wherewith you've been sealed. That's how you walk the way you watch the way you walk. Watch what you say. Amen. Watch the way that you act. Amen. Because this salvation did not come to us cheap. It came with the life of Jesus Christ. Amen. Somebody say saved. Glory to God. See, you don't hear that anymore. Amen. We don't hear that anymore. Glory to God. People were so excited. When we went to church, the church I grew up in, I tell you what, about 30 minutes of the song service was just people celebrating salvation. I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. Glory to God. They would sing about just being saved. They'd sing about, He's washed my robe whiter than snow. Lord, I want to be perfectly whole. They shouted. They were coming to church shouting, not because they got a $10 check in the mail. Amen. But they came that they were able to live a holy and acceptable life unto Jesus Christ that week. Amen. That they were still saved. Many were given up, but they were still in the faith. Amen. They would sing songs. Look, I started this race a long time ago, and I haven't got tired yet. I haven't got weary in doing well. Glory to God. I still have a mind and a heart to run on with Jesus with all of my might. I haven't grown weary. I just fired up again. This is this life that we have. You don't grow weary in this thing. You don't slack up. Glory to God. You fire up. The more you know about Jesus, the more you want to live for him. The more you want to give to him. So I say, saved. How will you escape stuff if you neglect such a great, this is a great salvation. It's bigger than what you think it is. You can get saved from that stuff. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you get out of here at 12:30 today? Hallelujah. But you're going to hear about it. Amen. Listen. Strive. Somebody say strive. That means to endeavor to accomplish something. Paul said, I'm pressed toward the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus. Somebody say glory to God. You got to press this thing in. You got to endeavor to win. You got to see the prize at the end of the gate. Glory to God. And run to it with all of your heart, with all of your mindset. Somebody say endeavor. Strive to get in. Strive to get in with a prize. Don't walk this thing. Don't have the Holy Ghost dragging you along. That's not how this thing was intended. And the Holy Ghost will drag you on to better things. He'll leave you right there. You got to be willing and obedient for the Holy Ghost to take you where you want to go. All you got to do is open your mouth and say, Lord, I'm willing. The Holy Ghost said, hey, I'm right here to help you. Holy Ghost said, he won't make you do anything. He'll help you do everything. But he won't make you do anything. You got to be willing. You got to see the prize at the end of the tunnel and say, I'm willing, and have the Holy Ghost get you there. So say, endeavor. Glory to God. Hallelujah. How do you remain? Am I any better than anybody else? No. But I made up my mind I want to be saved. Glory to God. I decided I didn't want to go the other way. Amen. I want to be saved. I want to live right. Glory to God. I want to be better than what I am today, tomorrow. Glory to God. Don't just want to stay where I am. I want God to take me all the way. And he should do. And you should have that same type of mindset. Strive to enter in. It means to compete for a prize. We all get so competitive. Look at somebody and say competition. Say it again, competition. Worldly people get so, you put like a little prize out in the office. The first one to get this many sales is going to get this. Then we all start knocking off each other. Amen? Amen? That spirit of competition, you know, and you know, that competitive spirit is so prevalent. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, everybody will sit back and watch everybody else run for God, and you'll be the last one in. Well, the Bible says to compete for a prize. If we would use half the motivation to win the world, the Bible said, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world yet lose his own soul? Many people are running the wrong race. Trying to win a prize that will fade away in the end. Strive for things that won't wax old, that won't rust. Strive to enter into the heavenly kingdom of God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Listen, Matthew chapter 24, verse 10. Hallelujah. Somebody said, I thought this thing would be easy. No, if it's telling you you're going to have to strive for it, it means a little bit of effort. Glory to God. It says, and then shall some. Anybody see the same scripture I see in Matthew chapter 24, verse 10? And then shall just a few of them. And then shall the weak ones. And then shall what? Say it. Well, everybody read that word in your Bibles. And then shall. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. It's scriptural. So say, isn't the word of the Lord true? When I see people carry on and act crazy, I said, well, look at the word of God. God's word is so true. It says, and then shall many, many, many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax what? Cold. Just a few going to want to walk right in these last days. But everybody else going to take shortcuts. And it's right there in the Word. You don't want to be one of those that love wax cold. What do you mean, love wax cold? I love everybody. Well, if you're not obedient to what the Holy Ghost wants to do in a geographic area, your love is wax cold. So they say, I just love everybody. No, you don't. Love is obedient. It's the same Holy Ghost. Do you think we're the only ones that's hearing the Holy Ghost in this town? Absolutely not. Same Jesus. He's saying the same thing. And we've all got to hear what God is saying over a geographic area and get in obedience over that thing. Amen. And walk through. But love is wax cold, and people don't want to accomplish what Jesus started. They don't want to finish it. But glory to God. But he that shall endure unto the end shall be saved. Somebody say, when other people run cold, I'll endure. Glory to God. When other people get offended, what are you going to do? You're not going to get surprised, because the Bible tells you that many will mess up. But when others mess up, you endure. You stay strong. When the move that I got saved in, I tell you what. I mean, that church was, we had a revival there, and many young people went down to the altar. It was packed. I mean, they got saved by the hundreds in that church. I'm not lying. I mean, we had a youth group of over 100 and some people, and back in that time, that was big. And they were all shouting and singing and clapping and falling out and falling in, rolling and slobbering at the mouth. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. But I tell you what, the start is one thing, but the end is what God is concerned about. How many endured? Before you go to war, you better figure out whether you have what it takes to finish the race. Hey, anybody would get out there. New York Marathon, we could all get out there and start it. We can all put on some shorts and get to the finish line. Everybody looks real good the first three steps. What does that mean? We can get in any marathon you want. That's what cracks me up about people. People get out the line, they shoot off the gun, and everybody's right there with their shorts on, you know. And they take the first three steps and run off to the coffee bar. They're off in the coffee bar, they're doing everything else, and then people looking at them, they got their shorts on. What are you doing? I'm running the marathon. No, you're not. There are a lot of people that started, you know. They might look like they're running a race, but they're on the wrong side of town, amen. They told me this a long time ago. Everybody just say they're saved. Not. They used to sing songs like, if you think you're a Christian by going to church, singing on the choir, serving on the board, stop fooling yourself. Amen. Don't fool yourself. Glory to God. You can find out what race someone's running by where they are. Is anybody else running around you? Think about that. He that endures to the end. There are many people running the race. Amen. Temptation comes up. They're going to stumble over this. Stumble over there, stumble over that. You better stay in the race until the very end. Hallelujah. Are we learning anything today? Amen. And this gospel shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto the nations, and the end shall come. Everybody say offense. Yes. Glory to God. Well, offense is anything that will deter you from your race. Anything. Good things as well as bad things. It means to scandalize. Everybody say scandalize. You know scandal? That's the devil's number one tool of getting people to get off the beaten path. This word offense is when you look at it in Greek, it means to scandalozo, or same word that we get scandal from. Notice that in the 80s when the church was really moving, amen, the devil used what? Scandal. Everywhere you take, they could find any man of God and they bring up a scandal, and then everybody falls off. And then look at the state of the charismatic church today because of all the scandal. The Bible says where you find strife and all this stuff, you find every evil work. Why? Offense. Offense. See, the devil's just out there roll calling. I mean, he puts the dancers out there. Come on out of the race. Come on out of the race. Just a little bit. You get in a little bit later on. You catch up. You get out of the race many times. You don't catch back up. Strive. Take a little effort. People expect me to pat them on the face when they, I'm just so tired, I'm just so worn out. You know, what you gonna do, what you gonna do? I'm gonna slap you in your face and tell you to grow up and strive. There's no excuse. Nowhere in the Bible do we have that stuff. Bible says when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. Glory to God. Find yourself another Jesus. But this Jesus that we have will supply our every need. If you were off in Vietnam, you just got tired of ducking your head down. You got your head blown off. Well, you just stand up there a little while longer, and them bullets will just fly around you. As soon as you get good, you come on back into the war. There have been many people that forgot they were in war and did dumb things. It's the same thing with this Christian walk that we have. You got to handle it with care. Amen. A lot of people got caught up in stuff and never came out of again. Amen. Relationships, affairs, and all this weird stuff, looking the wrong way. Amen. The Bible says people that looked at the wrong woman, you go into her house, you never return again. People take this walk so lightly. I'll always be saved. I'll mess around what I want to. I'll say what I want to. I'll act any kind I want to. I'll just look, do this for a while, and everything will be okay. I've seen people do that and never come back. I've seen people die in sin. Saved on the same altar I was. Shouted, baptized in the Holy Ghost the same time I was. And I was looking at them and saying, man, I want to be just like them. Because they danced real fast. They got it all together. Died with AIDS. Just because you start don't mean anything. Start with a mind to finish. And you can tell if somebody wants to finish or not by the profession of their mouth. We don't find those kind of confessions in the Bible. When we start hearing those things, we need to preach them out. Glory to God. We can find it in Scripture. One day Paul said, I feel like giving up today. Hallelujah. We need some people that will stand strong. And let God be God and stop being so weak and stop being so wishy-washy with things. And tell them this is a war. Amen. If you're going to win, amen, you got to endure to the end. This is a battle. Don't you consider your salvation? Hallelujah. Listen. Then said Jesus unto his disciples in Matthew chapter 19, verse 23. I'm talking about being saved this morning. That's nice. People say, well, I got this going on. That's nice, but you're saved. What happened to him? He got saved. There was a little Baptist girl that came to the service in Shreveport in that revival. And when they were getting saved down there, it was Dana. She married my roommate. Later on, she married my roommate there in Shreveport. And she went and told her friends. Amen. They had heard about the move of God and the revival of God. And she went to the meeting one night and got saved. Somebody say, praise God. And when she got saved, she went back and told all of her girlfriends in the college at the dorm. And she said, I got saved. And they all started to cry. Oh, no. Why? Because salvation meant something to some people. They knew the party for some people was over. Somebody say, glory to God. Dana's gone. Amen. There's a new Dana alive today. If your friends ain't crying, maybe you're not saved. The old man is dead. There's a new man in town. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Things I used to do, I don't do anymore. Amen. Somebody say, glory to God. Woohoo! Have to leave certain relationships. Can't do the same thing with girlfriend we used to do. Amen. Hallelujah, because we're saved. Then said Jesus to his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter, somebody say hardly, enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's just amazing that back then this thing was so important to get in. Rich people had a hard time getting in. Everybody had a hard time getting in this thing. He said you had to strive into it. Back then, this gospel that Jesus preached, it took a little bit of effort, a little willpower, a little mindset, at least a little thought. Today, we don't even think about it. We forget we're saved sometime. You go over to certain people's house, and you just have to go there and remind them that they're saved. You know, forget striving for anything. You have to just remind. That's really nice, but remember, you got saved. But this gospel that Jesus preached back then, we find this kind of thing. The disciples were saying, who can get in? And somebody invented a crowbar or something and took the doors off the gates of the kingdom and opened it wide. But it's only one gate, one way. Somebody say it's the same gate. One key, Jesus Christ, one way to get in. So if you're seeing some big old wide gold post out there, amen, you can go in and go out whenever you want to, amen. You can twirl around and walk in backwards and come back out again and go back in. That's not the gate that Jesus was talking about. It's a narrow walk, glory to God, and it takes some determination to walk in it. You need the help of the Holy Ghost to get through the gate. Maybe your gate, you get in that way, amen. Hallelujah. I'm teaching the word this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. People get mad at me and say, what is he talking about? He just believes that he's into this salvation stuff. Glory to God. They want to walk crazy? Let them walk crazy. They want to walk carelessly? Let them walk carelessly. I've seen dumb people do that all the time. It's a sad thing. You meet with, I go out with this brother here, and he said, that one was in my youth group. That one? We all used to go to church together. That one? Used to. So many people are out there in the Woodlands, Texas today, full of sin, full of mess. Holy Ghost is so far from them, they don't even know his name anymore. Amen. But they had an experience a long time ago just because they had their name on somebody's board thing. Amen. They think everything is okay. They don't realize they're not in the race anymore. Hallelujah. This is a good one for everybody. In verse 25, it says, who then can be saved? So I said, then who can be saved? It was a question back there, but now it's taken for granted. These were the disciples talking to Jesus. Said, then who can be saved? He said, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this thing is impossible. Somebody say glory to God. That means in your own understanding, in your own mindset, hallelujah, it's impossible. But with God. Somebody say with God. Amen. With God. Amen. With God, this walk is possible. That means it's impossible to live saved without God. That's why he gave us the Holy Ghost. And we're going to find out many ways that we can remain saved and stay saved. And I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on anybody or pressure anybody. Amen. But I'm trying to tell you that this thing is real. Amen. That with men, it's impossible. You're going to walk the way you want to walk. Amen. Any kind of way, in the day, out tomorrow. Amen. Whatever way is up. That's not what God intended. That's what happens when we walk as men. It's impossible. But with God, like they said, the Lord working with them, amen, God with them on a daily basis, it was possible. We're talking about the Holy Ghost here. I'm a charismatic, whatever you want to call me. Amen. But I believe that with God, I believe with the Holy Ghost. That's God with us. Amen. Jesus went on up and he said, I leave you the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, that's with us. Amen. As long as I got the Holy Ghost, it's possible. Amen. As long as I got the Holy Ghost on the inside of me, helping me, encouraging me, building it up. Amen. It's possible. Thank you, Jesus. I'm trying to get through. Amen. That means it's impossible. That's why Paul kept telling us, build yourself up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Because it's impossible for you to live this victorious life in your flesh and in your own understanding. You need supernatural help from God. You need the Holy Ghost. The disciples knew that. There were lots of people that made a decision. We found that out on Friday night. They believed in God and they were baptized only in Jesus' name. No other name shall men be saved in that name. Amen. But then they would send out, after that they sent out Peter and John, that they might lay hands on them, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Because they knew that for them to continue that walk and to stay in that walk, they needed some help. They needed God to be with them. I don't call anybody safe without the Holy Ghost. Just coming to church without the Holy Ghost, you know. I mean, you listen to me preach, you're in some rough shape. I might be in a bad mood one day. You're going to need God to go with you. That's when somebody's okay. When you see the Holy Ghost walking with them down that road, that one's safe. That means they go off to the right, to the left, amen, they'll make it. You need a tour guide. Hallelujah. I've enjoyed this morning. Glory to God. I've enjoyed this. We're going to finish this up. And tonight we're going to be talking about saved by the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost in salvation. Saved by the Word. Amen. How we can work out this salvation. Somebody say amen. Why are we preaching this thing? You see how empty this place is this morning? You know why? People think that the gate's wide. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. But it'll be all right because you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. Glory to God. I speak it right now that we're going to be walking strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Amen. People that remain strong. Amen. Amen. When people ask you, are you a Christian? They won't just say, hey, I go to First Baptist. Or I go to Fellowship of the Woodlands. Well, whoop-de-doo. Or some people might say, I go to Nations Church. Whoop-de-doo. We need people to stand up and say, I'm saved, full of the Holy Ghost. Got a mind to live right, walking. Amen. I was saved this morning, saved last night. Amen. Many people go to church just to remind them that they're Christians. That's not the way God wants you to walk. Hallelujah. It was good this morning. Stand up and bless the Lord with all of your heart. Hallelujah. Are we learning anything this morning? Somebody say, I'm glad I'm saved. Thank you. Say it one more time. I'm glad I'm saved. Hallelujah. Saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. How many of you saved this morning? Hallelujah. Aren't y'all glad y'all are on your way to heaven? How many? And I tell you what, how many of you saved with a mind to live right? That's the issue. There are a lot of dumb people out there that call themselves saved. So saved. Ooh, baba mama hi. Amen. There are a lot of people. Have you ever met people like that? Got all this stuff going on, but yet they're saved. Bible says you know a tree by the fruit it bears. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for those that are gathered in this house. We thank you, that Lord, that they are ever growing in the knowledge of you, Father God. Lord, we pray that your word would be strong, that your word would be true, that your believers would remain faithful and firm unto the very end, Father God. Father God, that they would be able to prevail by faith in every area. Father God, when they run into difficulties on the job, Father God, or in any area, Father God, that they will be able to pull on that full salvation to get the job done. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you that people, oh, glory to God, I thank you that there are those, Father God, that know who Jesus is, that they bring him into every scenario and every picture, said, hey, it would be that bad, but I know God. But I'm going to I know Jesus, and God is on my side. Don't you lose that confession. God is on your side, and you are saved. And it does make a difference, glory to God. And you do have faith, glory to God. And as you learn not to neglect that salvation, but to find out more about it, you'll learn how to prevail in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Glory to God. Stir up the gift that's within you. Don't miss church tonight. This is an important, this is a good message, glory to God. And I believe it will change the life of every hearer, and it will also change the life of those that are around you, in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Why don't you be seated as Brother Jesse comes? Hallelujah. Sister Marla, I'm reminded of that testimony. Somebody said, amen. About you in that office there. There was a situation going on, and things were difficult. Everybody was talking about difficulties, you know, new companies coming to town, everything. I said, but that's okay. We're believers, and God is on our side. Glory to God. That's not neglecting salvation. Praise God. That's putting God in the picture. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. By giving God a chance and expecting it to mean something, expecting it to make a difference. Somebody say, hallelujah. Glory to God. I'll do it today, Brother Jesse. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Doesn't he do a good job? We have wonderful offering envelopes here. I said envelopes here. Amen. This is how we pay the bills here in Nations Church. Somebody say, thank God for that. By receiving wonderful large offerings. Hallelujah. And they're getting better all the time in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We're able to do everything that God wants us to do and then some. I tell you what, I pray that your offering would match our faith in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I tell you what, when you hear God wanting to do something in the house, when you hear that, you know, hey, the church wants to extend itself or do all, we hear the same stuff you do too. Like God says, hey, I want you to go in this direction. And we're like, what? Amen. Well, listen, when you see different situations in the church arise, take it as an opportunity to be blessed. If there's something that needs to happen, or something needs to be bought, something needs to be paid, whatever it is, that means that there's an individual or somebody out there someplace that God wants to bless them 10 times the need of the ministry. Wow! How many times have we seen that happen, Brother Jesse? You know, we get stuck. We would love to super exceed every believer in Nations Church and just go directly to God and get whatever we need. Amen. Go out there and do it. But God didn't design it that way all the time. Many times we have a need, we have to pray. God bless somebody. Hallelujah. That means if we need a little bit of resource here or pay a bill, whatever, we got to believe God and preach hard enough for you to get blessed. 10 times the measure of what we need to get done on a daily basis. Wow. You know what? Sometimes we don't understand it, but we learn that's how God does things. But God will ever yet be faithful. Somebody say, thinking, I've seen him come through time and time and time again. There have been times when this whole house has been filled and we couldn't keep a light on just about. Amen. There have been times we've been down to about 7 or 8, 6 people that all one of them just keeps getting so blessed, so blessed, so blessed, so blessed, so blessed that God did it. So I want you to understand that stuff. All you got to do, you don't have to take on the responsibility. Say, but Lord, hey, they need something. I'm open to the blessing. How many seen God do that before? Say, I'm open to the blessing. I'll be the vessel. Somebody say, praise God. I'll be the vessel. When God wants to do something like that, he's looking for someone to bless. 10, and he can use anybody in that arena to do it. Amen. Hallelujah. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth absolutely no sorrow with it. Hallelujah. Those that tithe, I want you to know that your tithe is blessed. He will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Amen. And it does make a difference. Amen. And you can also sow offerings. If you need an offering envelope this morning, I have them here. Who needs an offering envelope? It's good to put it in there. Nobody needs an offering envelope. I tell you what, then I want you to take an offering envelope this morning, and I want you to intercede. Do you hear what I'm saying? Get past it every envelope, and I want you to look at this every day and intercede and say, every need is met in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise God. It's, you know, not everybody's going to have something all the time. We're not today. That's God's desire, and that's God's will, and that's a part of salvation. Do you know that? That God wants to bless you, that you're able to give into every good work. Amen. So what we do is we pray and we believe God until it's done that. And you know what? Prayer works. So what I want you to do, somebody say, we're going to get done what God wants to get done. We are, to catch up over the summer, we have got some things that we've got to do this summer. Do you understand that? So we are going to be taking a special offering. And a special offering, that means that you need to intercede over as to what you could do. It's an offering outside of the regular offering that we will take. Actually, I tell you what, paste this offering envelope on your dresser or in your car and pray in the Holy Ghost every day. And then when we receive a special offering, you place that offering in there as to what God told you to do. Amen. And everybody that does sow into that offering will be tremendously blessed. So what are we doing? Everybody say special. Say it again. Special offering. Hallelujah. I might well believe God for big stuff on that one. Amen. Amen. We should have heard God and taken care of everything. I tell you what. Somebody say special offering. So if you have your this morning's offering, say amen. Let's pray over both of those. This morning's offering, put it in one hand. Special offering envelope, put it in the other hand. Do not bring in your special offering envelope until it's called for. We might call for that envelope on Friday. We'll tell you when we're going to receive that special offering. Amen. Or if God wants you to push it in early, push it in early. Amen. Nothing wrong with special offerings. Amen. So Father, right now in the name of Jesus, first and foremost, we bless the tithes and offering this morning. Glory to God. God, you are a faithful God. You're the God that's more than enough. Lord, you are abundantly blessing us in every good work, Father God, and in every way. And you know exactly what you're doing. So, Lord, I thank you that these people's hearts are surrendered to you. Lord, we understand that this is a miracle. Every offering received in Nations Church is a miracle because there's 1,001 things that everyone can do with their resource, Father God. So when someone releases tithe and offering, God, that is, Lord, that is just amazing. That is amazing. So Father God, as they honor you with their faith, Father God, in the name of Jesus, will you return to them 1,000-fold blessing, please, Father? Father, will you bless them, Father God? We want you to bless them, Father God, because we know the things that they have to overcome to do that.
in Jesus' name. So, Father God, I'm going to ask you to return a blessing over their offering this morning. Father God, I'm also going to pray over this special offering. I'm going to pray that the Holy Ghost gets all over this special offering. Father God, I pray that people we don't even know will start to send resources into this offering. Father God, I claim this special offering in the thousands in Jesus' name. In the thousands, Father God, in the tens of thousands in Jesus' name. Father God, I pray that you would speak to the hearts of individuals, that they'll send these offering envelopes to those that need it, Father God. Lord, I'm not too small to believe you, Father God, to pay off all of nations, churches, bills for the next year in one offering. You can do it, Father God, in Jesus' name. And you will, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Why don't you bring this morning's offering, amen, and write special on your little envelope right there, and pray in the, will y'all do that with me this week? Will y'all do that? Just pray in the Holy Ghost over that offering envelope this week and say, I bless the special offering this week. Amen. And if you want to sow that offering envelope to somebody else, amen, you can. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody wants to get involved with this special offering, that either anybody wants to get involved with the special offering by helping us organize a special offering, amen, or if you want to just be a part of the interceding over the special offering, you can. Please see me if that's one of the things you want to do and you want to use your faith in that area. Somebody say, bring it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. One day he defeated every one of his enemies. Hallelujah. You're blessed this morning. I want you to be a blessing to others. Don't forget tonight, be here at 7 o'clock and bring 100 friends. Amen. Bring 100 friends. Uh-huh. Or bring 3 friends. And if you don't have 3 friends, you need to get saved. Amen. If you don't have 3 friends, you got some real problems. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You need deliverance. If you don't have 3 friends, you need some serious deliverance. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Be blessed. It's good to see Mama back. Mama was in the hospital. Come here, precious. And she got out. Amen. It was an awful thing that the devil tried to do again to her. Amen. But amen. God healed her, I believe. But we want to continue to keep her in prayer. Also, Jane Rendon went in the hospital last Sunday with a horrible, horrible attack. You know, and they don't like to talk a lack of faith. They're supposed to go out of town. They're going to be here teaching on Tuesday. For some strange reason, they plug in at Nations, you know, and it's the 4th of July weekend. I don't understand it, but they say we need to be there and we need to teach the word. And sometimes there's only 3 people here. And here this woman's battling this huge thing in her life, but they make it a point to drive all the way to Humble to teach here. So if you're not working on Tuesday, come by and be a part of that study and also remember them in prayer. I don't know if anybody else is not feeling well this morning. Is there anybody else that's sick in the house this morning? Also, you want to remember Judith. Amen. Judith is over there sick, and she'll be moving in a month and a half. So pray that she gets everything she needs to get done. Brother Paul moved into our condo yesterday. Amen. They returned tonight. He went all the way up to Tulsa to pick up his kids. I saw Brother Paul move into his apartment yesterday, and I think he gave away all of his stuff to the other side, and he just moved in with some bags there. And I don't think he was really thinking about everything he really needed. I believe he needs everything. So if you want to be a blessing to Brother Paul, dishes, knives and forks, towels, a chicken, or anything, bacon, eggs, pray for him and let's get that thing taken care of, because the devil really attacked his family. They did take up separate ways right now. And with that thing, anybody ever gone through divorce? It's an awful thing. And I tell you what, when you go through something like that, the church needs to be there and stand, not in judgment, amen, but we need to outlove what the devil's trying to do, amen. Let's stand up there and make a difference and say, brother, you won't have a lonely day in Jesus' name. You're going to make it. Amen. Some of you, Brother Rex, that might be an assignment for you. Amen. To keep that boy occupied. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I wouldn't advise him getting into any relationship in the next 12 years. Amen. So y'all can go to watch the go to dog races or whatever it is. There's a dog show coming to town on July 17th. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about the beauty pageant. I'm talking about a real dog show. And I want to go to the dog show. And if you like dogs, amen, and you want to go to the dog show, let's go to this dog show on July 27th. Amen. Don't you think it's a good idea? Go to the dog show. Huh? No, July 17th. July 17th we're out of town, but on the 17th, July. No, are we out of town on the 17th?
No.
The 27th we're out of town. We leave on the 23rd and get back. Whatever. We're going to go to the dog show in Jesus' name. All right. So y'all be blessed and love somebody and pray over the church and pray over the offering envelopes in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Everybody believe for a specific amount in Jesus' name. And I tell you what, they had a special offering at, I know I'm running my mouth, but it's good. They had a special offering at Jack Hayford's church when I was there. The Lord instructed Brother Hayford they needed to raise some finances. And the Lord instructed Brother Hayford to, out of his pocket, to give everybody in the church a dollar. And they were to take this dollar, invest it in any way, or do whatever God tells them to do with this dollar, and then return the dollar and everything else they did with that dollar to raise money. Amen. So some people went out there and they bought pencils with their dollar, and they sold the pencils in their office for a higher price, and they brought back the increase from the pencils, and they just did it that way. Some of the people bought candy bars and did it that way. There was one little girl that with her dollar, she bought a crayon and a piece of paper, and she drew a picture. And she said she drew a picture, and it had a picture of a church on it or something like that, a little crayon. And her dad was this big executive. Her dad was having this meeting one day, and she brought her picture in, and she had a for sale sign on her picture and took it to her dad's CEOs. And the CEO and the dad was pushing the little girl off, saying, "You better stop that." And the CEO starts to cry. He starts to cry over this little girl's picture and wrote a check for $50,000 for that little picture in crayon that little girl drew. So God, amen, God can do anything. Amen. So we're going to be borrowing all of your children. Amen. They're going to be drawing pictures all week long. Amen. We want children's church. We want as many pictures as you can find. Amen. And we're going to be selling these pictures to every CEO we know in Jesus' name. No, I'm joking. Y'all be blessed and have a good lunch and come on back tonight at 7 o'clock. Amen. Glory to God. Don't miss church tonight. Jesus is coming tomorrow morning. Yeah. Do I have my boys today? Put us on some good music, that rock and roll song.